Jaya Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito
How does it go?
Godaye pushpavanto
Godaye pushpavanto
Chitro chando tamonudo
Chitro chando tamonudo
Yes, yes, yes. People of the world, celebrate, oh celebrate. The son of Maharaj Nanda has taken birth in Mayapur, taking on the golden complexion and mood of Sri Radha. Inside he is Krishna, outside Radha. He wishes to flood the whole universe, including Radhadesh and Belgium, with love for Krishna. New poetry. My dear devotees, I wanted today come to a very important pastime and what happened in the banana tree grove. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, he was a changed personality, and he announced in the house of Shuklambara Brahmachari at the banks of the Ganga on one afternoon why he was changed. If you remember, he had the personal darshan of a golden complexioned boy who called him while playing on his flute. Actually, I have taken some verses in the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think it's got a few changes. he said, while returning from Gaya, I came to the village named Kanaye Nataishala. There, I saw a beautiful boy, blackish like a tamal tree. His enchanting curly hair was decorated with fresh gunja berries. These are the berries found in the garden. They are mostly red. They have a little white and black at the end. And sometimes they make garlands. And Krishna has these garlands in the hair. It goes like this. It looks really beautiful. On top of his bluish, blackish hair was a colorful peacock feather. And the jewels on his body glistened so brilliantly that at times I couldn't see him properly. In his hand he held an enchanting flute, and his lotus feet were adorned with attractive anchor bells. Whenever he moved one feet, it made a delightful sound. His arms were decorated with jeweled ornaments and defeated the beauty of blue columns. It's a very, very substantial arms, very big. His chest was adorned with the mark of Sri Vatsa. That's a spiral, because it's white hair which grows like this spiral. He had a Kostuva gem and jeweled necklaces. But my friends, how can I describe the manner in which he wore his yellow garments? His shark-shaped earrings increased the beauty of his lotus eyes. It is said that these earrings dangle on his ears, and when he smiles, his cheeks become a little bit full, and then they glisten on his cheeks, spreading a moving light. It's very beautiful. He smiled as he approached me, and after embracing me, he ran away. So then the Lord fainted. And the devotees saw this highest state of ecstasy. They picked him up and they all chanted, Krishna, Krishna!
Krishna, Krishna!
They pacified him and brushed the dust from his golden body. Now, although the Lord calmed down somewhat, he continuously cried and said, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So the devotees saw this Nimai Pandit has attained the highest states of God consciousness. They felt indeed very, very blessed. Sorry. I think we can understand, imagine a super, super exalted Vaishnava will come now through the doors and sit in our midst. And as he sits down, an effulgence would emanate from his body. But make no mistake, it's not just a light like this, extremely good light. It is also something, an emotional intensity which moves from him in our heart. And we would say, Krishna, Krishna. And first, one Mataji would start to cry, then it would be picked up, by Padmakshi. And everyone soon, Nimai would join, and we would all cry in ecstatic love of God so much that the temple floor would be filled with so much layers of crystal clear tear water. This would be very good. So the Vaishnavas quickly picked him up, and they said, "We are all dependent on you. May you lead us in kirtan. Our bodies are burning from the fiery words of the atheists who surround us. Please relieve us with the cool waters of your love." This is what they said very, very poetically. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Okay, let us do kirtan, but where?" And Shiva's Pandit said, "In my house, my lord, let us do kirtan. In my house, I have very good boundary walls and good stable doors. We can lock them and have our kirtan." So this is what happened. Every evening, they would have kirtans, and they would become so emotionally and so fervent, you could say, that soon the ecstasy just trickled through the doors and boundary walls, and it was infecting the neighborhood, or affecting, I wanted to say, the neighborhood. Soon there were each evening many people outside who demanded entry. But even if people were various accomplished yogis, they were not allowed entry unless they had devotion for Lord Hari. Soon the foreign government heard that the Vaishnavas created a sensation in town. As I said yesterday, Mahaprabhu had given one instruction. He said, "As many of you as can fit on one doorstep, sit together and do kirtan." It reminded me a little with the kirtan course. So we see sometimes these devotees practicing their instruments. So there were like five or so singing. And one day it so happened that there was all of a sudden a rush. The Kazi came personally with armed soldiers. They usually had lances, high lances. And he came into the kirtan. He said, "What is going on? You are forbidden to practice your Hindu religion in a way that is affecting the outside. It's so loud." He took the madanga, he looked around, and took that instrument which is sacred for the devotees and just broke it on the floor. Bang! He said, "For today, I'm breaking a drum. Starting with tomorrow, I will break bones and heads." And then he threatened, "All you who sing today, be warned. There's a new government decree. Those who sing will be disowned and will be forcibly converted into Muslims. You better be silent." These were the times. In Germany, we played Srinam Vanamali Krishna was Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and Ramananda Gopal was the Kazi. And we had kirtan, Agnidev had kirtan. Then the Kazi came with how do you say, with people, with soldiers, and they interrupted the kirtan, and they looked so lifelike. We didn't know what was happening. Agnidev, I think, was informed before because he could keep his smile, but all of the rest were frightened because they spoke so loud. They actually took a mitanga, they broke it, and they threw a few devotees on the floor. These were trained jiu-jitsu martial arts devotees, and they fell, and it really looked intense. Not so stable devotees in mind shouted, and we had to say, drama, drama, drama. it looked really very. Oh. But how it could be, how it was at that time, I just can't imagine. They really were meant business. In other words, they were accustomed to torture, and they knew what bone to break first, then the second bone. They, in other words, all the dark knowledge of torture was known to them. So the devotees went to Gauranga Mahaprabhu and informed him, "This has happened. We followed your order. We did kirtan, but then the government reacted and they said there's a new law out that we will be forcibly converted and disowned the next time we do it." Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thoughtful. When the news came, Srivas was also there, and remember, he gave his whole estate, all his property for the secret, was not a secret, for the performance of kirtan. Srivas knew how mercifully the foreigners dealt with opposition. He had been informed how they had taken the innocent Haridas of small body and slender limbs, and how they had caned him in 24 marketplaces. If you read in Leo Tolstoy's works how caning looked, the Russians did it up till the 1870s. They would have people, executors there with canes, and the convict would have to go without a shirt through this rows of people, and then they bent down with these, they would come from willows, the twigs of willows, and it would draw blood first, and then streams of flesh would come out. And Leo Tolstoy has very graphically described it in one of his works. So this was done to Haridas. He was slim. Imagine they would take our Gaur Krishna, who's also slim, especially since he serves me, and they would wipe him. It would break our hearts in two or four pieces. Srivas knew that. He also knew how his best friend Gangadas, a scholar, had been once persecuted, and Gangadas went with his whole family, his wife, sons, and some of the property which they had, as much as they could carry. They went towards the Ganga, and the soldiers persecuted them with these dogs, these heavy dogs who can rip out a muscle from you on biting. And they came near, and my dear devotees, then they came to the Ganga, and there was no fisherman there. The Gangadas said to his wife, "I know the foreigners will first grab you, disrobe you, and satisfy their lust with you while I have to look on. That's what they do. So let us not tolerate this. Then they will kill you and me." let's jump in the Ganga. This is too much. We will commit suicide by drowning in Ganga. Then they called one last time, and then they saw out of the, it was in the night, out of the night, a lonely boatsman coming very patiently and said, I have come. Then they jumped all in the boat, and they could escape before the dogs and the soldiers got them. Take note of this incident, because I will refer you to it a little later. Mm-hmm. And so on. So Shiva's Thakur knew how violent and mercilessly and cruel the foreigners dealt with anyone opposing them. He was terrified. Now when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the news, he responded in two ways. One morning, as Shiva's Thakur was doing his puja to Lord Narsingadev on his altar, the door was locked behind him. He was very silently ringing his bell. Oh, namaste, namasinghaya, paladaladalali. Oh, traumatized. He heard a loud knocking and a voice demanding entry. Let me in. Oh no, now they've come to get me. Shiva Thakur just continued with his puja. Nashingham Hading Sharanam Prabhupada. All of a sudden, with an aggressive roar, the door was kicked open. Shiva didn't even want to look back. He was sure it was the soldier. And who comes marching by? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the gait of a lion. And he doesn't stop before the altar. He sits on the altar and he shows a four-armed form with the weapons of Lord Vishnu, which can destroy all opposition. The chakra was whirling. Shrivas Thakur was just looking, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, see my glories now. So Shrivas Thakur was empowered by the Lord to compose beautiful prayers. And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, Shrivas, are you fearful? Shrivas said, a little. Are you still fearful? Then he gave a very nice lecture. Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, see, no one can act independently from me. I am the mover, everyone else is the moved. If I don't want that the Kazi, the king sends his army to capture you, he won't be able to do this. There was a rumor that the king had been informed by the Kazi, who was something like the district magistrate, or the governor, you could say, in American politics, and that the Kazi had reported to the king and had asked for a contingent of army to deal with the opposition in Navadvip. So there was this rumor, quite a reliable rumor, not like an insubstantial rumor, but that the king's men would come and wield their terror in Navadvip. And so the Gauranga talked about this, Mahaprabhu talked about it, he said, if I don't want this to happen, it cannot happen. But there's another opportune possibility that the Kazi will come, or the king's men will come. And then in that scenario, I will jump first in the boat and go with the boat back to the king. And I will stand before the king and said, King, call all your saintly people, all your priests and peers, and shakes, and ask them to give love of Godhead to your God. You can't. They can't do it. But I will do it. Bring even the soldiers, bring even the priests, bring even the elephants, and I will make them all cry in love of Godhead. You know, someone who cries in love of Godhead forgets all aggression. I think we should know that. What? Shivas, you don't believe me? With these words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called a little girl of 4 years who was playing nearby. Little Narayani, come. Narayani, chant the holy name. Narayani was infused with the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She got up on her toes and she started to chant and dance ecstatically. Manoha, how old is our Jivani?
4 and a half.
That's a good example. Do you remember Jivani, the very brilliant young girl dressed by her mother in extremely attractive womanly outfits with hair and sometimes flowers in her hair? Imagine she comes in and all of a sudden starts to dance high, touching the ceiling and calling Krishna, Krishna, Tata. Chant Hare Krishna, and she would touch her father, and our temple president would also start to dance, and this would be very nice, and we would make photos and publish them, ecstatic kirtans and Radha Desh. yes, come to the kirtan course. So Narayani was the proof. Lord Chaitanya showed how he could make even an ignorant little child overwhelmed with the greatest gift that is ecstatic love of Godhead. So he said like this, but then he said another thing. In a few days from now, we will go to the town of Navadvip. Spread the news, and we should go in the evening time, and I want that all the kirtan parties via torches and chant. So on that evening, Gadadhar Pandit came and dressed Lord Chaitanya with the garlands of little malati flowers which he put in the head. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dressed in a white elegant dhoti. He was some sandalwood was put on him, and then the kirtan started. My dear devotees, this kirtan, why were we not born at that time to participate in this kirtan? It was ecstatic beyond description. The thieves had seen that all the people in the houses of Navadvip had gone out of their house. They had put oil barrels before their doors so that the torch bearers could take their torches and again put fresh oil on them so that they won't burn longer. They came by this 100,000 devotees chanting and dancing. 100,000. Wow! It looked as if a snake made of light was dancing through Navadvip. That means 9 islands. I imagine they came through one island, they entered it, they danced through it. Then they came to the shore of the island, and there were boats which took them over to the next island. 9 islands were passed like this. The snake had only one direction: the house of the Chankasi. It was coming closer and closer. The Chankasi got up in his upper rooms and saw, so much of a demonstration is coming. It's coming to me, oh no! This is my aunt. The thieves knew this is our chance to thief. Everyone is out of home, and we will go to under the beds and everywhere where the gold is hidden, and we will steal it. But when the kirtan came by, the chanting was so attractive that they left their thieving projects and they joined the kirtan and dancing, even the thieves. This was how attractive it was. So they all came to Chandkasi and they demanded to see where is the Kasi. Some of Lord Chaitanya's devotees were very temperamental. They began to tear apart the beautiful garden, although they were forbidden it. The Chandkasi was trembling and so on. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "One man, up, get the Kasi down." The Kasi came down, and Nima Pandit said, "I came to your house, but you were very impolite. You were hiding." "Yes," said the Kasi, "in our village relationship, you are like my nephew, and when the nephew is angry at the uncle has to sometimes hide." No, I'm not. I want to discuss with you why you are opposing the kirtan. Don't you know that there's only one Lord?" So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave discussions on the basis of the Quran, proving that they were worshipping the same God. It reminds me of a song which Rumi has written. Rumi has written, "The Christians glorify the Lord with Hallelujah. The Muslims with Allah Akbar. The Hindus with Hari Ram. But there's only one song, the song of love." He said like this. So Mahaprabhu gave a similar, he's the original. He gave this idea of the one song, and it should not be interrupted by any means. The Kasi agreed, but then he said, "There's one thing I need to discuss with you. Can we talk in private?" Gaurang Mahaprabhu said, "These people are all our friends. They are devotees of the Lord. There doesn't need to be any confidentiality. You can talk right here." "So private," said the Chandkasi, "what I want to say." It's all right, said Gauranga, and encouraged him. Then the Kasi said something. Listen very carefully. He said, "When I broke the Vedanga that one evening, that fire came at me. So I went home. I went to sleep. All of a sudden, the door broke open and a powerful lion jumped on my chest. But he had legs. He had the legs of a man and the arms on, and the, not arms, the, what do you call it? And the claws of a lion. He roared at me. He said, 'Kasi, you disturb my kirtan.' And then he took his nails. There's no pardon for you. He took his nails, he ripped my shirt, and then with his nails, he ripped my skin. And he said, 'This time, it's only your skin. Next time, we will take everything out of you.'" I'm imagining, like, finishing his personal treatment of Hiranyakashipu. "You don't believe me?" Then the Kasi opened his shirt, bared his chest, and everyone could see the nail marks of the Lord, and all chanted,
Jai Nrsimha!
Jai Nrsimha!
Sri Nrsimha!
Sri Nrsimha!
Jai Jai Nrsimha Dev!
Jai Jai Nrsimha Dev!
Yes. The Kazi said, therefore, I have decided, based on your philosophical argument and the argument of that lion, that you may do kirtan wherever you want. And to send this information to my soldiers that this is condoned by me, you can take my personal, it's called insignia, is it called insignia? And you can carry it. It's like the stamp which Tachan Kazi would put on all the orders. You know, it was there in stamp form, but also the form. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu took this. It goes like this, you may have seen. And he put a tilak on it, which joins the foreign government and the Vaishnava together. The Chankazi became a great devotee of the Lord, who supported the Lord throughout his life, although he was from a different government. When he died, the devotees, he was brought into a grave, and a few days later, a neem tree grew from his grave. It grew bigger, bigger, taller, and a champak tree together, which is a biological wonder. They came from the same place next to each other. The neem tree, I hope I don't get it wrong, signifies either Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think so, and the champak tree, Chankazi. Or it's the other way around. You can still see this tree. It's very large and very big, and devotees who go there like to play the drama of Chankazi's conversion there. But what was with the banana tree growth? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had converted Kazi, he went with all his devotees a little. North, and then he took a sharp turn to the east, and he came into a very lovely place. It was a place where only bananas grew, but someone very special had made a hut in there. So for now, we are in the Sankirtan party of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. We approach the house of the Chankazi, and then we will go in procession somewhere else. We need a little temperamental melody, Kirtan melody, Krishna. What is it? Kirtan. Too soft. It's a wild kirtan, you know. I'm
Thank you.
many more Vidagas, many more Kantas, and much more excitement even. It's really something, and we can understand why the Chatkarsi hid in his upper floor once he found out that the human snake came with the torches towards his house. He could definitely understand Krishna, Krishna. So after this, I wanted to say, the Kirtan procession moved on. It didn't have any longer the character of a demonstration. The devotees were tired, they were thirsty, and a little hungry. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu brought them the northern direction, then made a sharp turn to the right, to the east. There, his goal was the house of a very dear devotee. This devotee had no family. His family was the Lord. His name was, he was known as Sridhar, the banana salesman. Kolavecha means banana salesman. He had a very peculiar relationship to Chaitanya. See, this devotee would just stay in the banana plantage, or where the banana tree, and he would take a few items from the bananas, the flowers, the ripe bananas, the inside of the banana trees. You can make sabji with it. From the flowers you can also make sabji. And he would sell it at the marketplace for a very small profit, very small. And whatever money he made on a day, he would divide it religiously in half. He would take half of it for the worship of Mother Ganga, that means incense. He bought incense, which he offered. Sometimes he would pour milk in the Ganga as an offering. And some dupe, some light he would offer in the Ganga Aratik. And the other half he would take for his physical maintenance. My dear devotees, this devotee was so poor that his shirt was more holes than shirt. There were holes in the roof, and when it was raining to him. But he would never budge an inch on this point that 50% of his income would be spent in puja and worship. Now, he was on the market, and frequently, maybe each day, I don't know, but very often, every other day, Nimai Pandit came to him and stole the bananas and the leaves and the items. Kolavecha said, "Why do you steal this? I have a very little price. If you don't like my price, go to someone else. No, why should I give up a good supplier? Your banana leaves are the best in town, and all the things are there. I stick with you. I stick with you. But then you should give me something, the right price." Nima Pandit said, "Why not? Well, you're using the money for the worship of the Ganga, but I'm the husband of Ganga." "What? Vishnu, Vishnu, this is too much that you say such nonsense. We should expect when someone grows older, he becomes more mature, but you become more naughty." And then Gauranga smiled at him and he took the bananas for free. And Sridhar was back in the shop and he said, I love him. That's all I can say. I love him. And he would wait all night for the next day that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and steal his bananas. I love him. So Mahaprabhu went right to Kolavecha Shrida. Now at the entrance, not of his hut, but little away from his hut, there was an iron pot. This pot had so many holes that not even the poorest of thieves was considered to steal it. It was really in bad shape. And it was not well lit. It was used by Kolavecha to do the bathroom activities, you know, wash the feet, wash himself after answering nature's call. It was the dirty water pot that it was. So Mahaprabhu came. He just had conquered a world religion, if you so want. He had a very big personality. He went to the pot. Kolavecha saw that he came darting out of his heart. No, 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 first you steal, now you want to steal whatever pious credits I have by drinking from my dirt water pot. Mahaprabhu did not heed his advice. He just drank from this cup. And he said, the water from the pot of my devotee can give pure love of Godhead, and that's why I drink it. That reminds us of Mahaprabhu's transformative journey. When he went to Gaya, he developed a severe fever at that time, and he said, there's only one cure. The water which has washed the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, that water I will drink. It heralded or announced his upcoming transformation. And so, my dear devotees, when the devotees heard this, they all shouted, Gaur Premanandi! Yes, in appreciation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifying the Vaishnava. That appreciation was there. This appreciation must be there. This appreciation is very important that we keep it. The Lord wanted to show, more important than anything, more important than political victory, more important than prominence in town, is the worshipful attitude towards the Vaishnavas. And he showed this by drinking from the dirt water pot, a pot which not even the lowest of thieves even considered in his nightmares to be an object of his thievery. That is Mahaprabhu's instruction, and it comes right after the pastime of convincing the Qazi to allow him to continue with his kirtan. That's the secret of the banana grove. All the devotees were beside them in ecstasy. They laid down, they relaxed after the dancing and kirtan and sweating. They drank water. I do not know if Kolavecha Shrida could offer them anything to eat. I have never heard about this. But I'm not worried, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once put a mango seed into the earth, and immediately before the eyes of everyone, a mango tree grew with fresh mangoes for everyone in the kirtan party. Mahaprabhu can somehow do this, just like it is said, Jesus would produce unlimited amount of bread Mahaprabhu produced unlimited amount of mangoes and could feed everyone. So this is how that evening ended. And Hare, no, some other melody we need. This was the kirtan melody, the procession melody.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.